come and do what only you can do, Father. Hallelujah, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah, just open up your mouth and worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, you are great. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We praise your name. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. We worship you.
is no God like you. We are so thankful that we have the opportunity once again to come into your presence and to be touched by you, healed by you, delivered by you. You are all that we need. And tonight we just want to say thank you. We bow ourselves before you and we worship your exalted name. We speak. And Lord, the forces of darkness flee at the mention of your name. Lord, tonight, we're thankful that your presence here makes it possible for us to operate and live in full liberty, freedom. Freedom from every snare, for your word says, O God, that you will keep us from all evil. We step, O God, into that goodness, that truth. And we say, Father, have your way in our lives. For we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto you, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And we receive the testimony of your word tonight. Speak to us and forever change us for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here this evening for another time of fellowshipping in the throne room of our Father and our elder brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many years ago, the Lord led me to bring a word to us about five things we must know, settle, and never forget. Now, I'm not saying that these five things are the only things, but certainly these are very important things. If you and I are going to make it in life, we have to remember these five things. If you're going to forge on in life, you got to remember these five things. If you're going to rise and be a believer that is a mover and a shaker in any level, you got to remember these five things. If you're going to walk in victory and win in life, you got to remember these five things. First thing that you must know, settle, and remember. You need to know this. You need to have this settled in your life and never forget it. First thing, I am loved. The Word of God tells us in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must never forget that. That you are loved of God. That God loves you And he loves you so much, he gave his only begotten Son. And that if you believe in him, the Father, and believe in him, the Son that is given of the Father, that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. I always remind people about that word should, because the should says to us that if you don't believe that, then you will perish. Not because God wants you to perish, he's made provision for you not to perish. He's made provision for you to know everlasting life. But now that I've done my part, it is your part to believe. Now, one may say, okay, it's going to be hard for me to believe. Now, God believes for you. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So God gave me the faith to believe. So he's made provision, and then he says to us that faith works by love. So what did God do? The word of God says that God has shed abroad in all of our hearts the love of God. So whatever it is that we need to forever be saved, God has made provision for, even the capacity to believe. Today you came, and I don't think anyone that is sitting right now looked at the chair. Is this going to be safe? Okay. Though you just came and just sat. Because you believed that that chair was going to hold you up. You didn't think maybe somebody unscrewed the legs. So if I sit on it, it's just going to woof. No, you just believed. God gave you the capacity to believe. You left your home today and headed down here to the church, believing that when you leave your house, you will arrive here. You believed. You ate your food today, believing that whatever it is that you're eating is not going to kill you. The capacity to believe was already inbuilt inside of you. And God says, if you just believe that I love you so much, I gave my only begotten Son. If you just believe that, then you won't have to perish. You won't have to waste away unnecessarily, but you're going to have everlasting life. So the first thing that we have to settle, and never forget is that God loved me. When did God love me? God loved me while I was yet a sinner. He didn't love me because I was good. He loved me while I was bad. And he chose to forgive me because of his love for me. So when I believe that God loves me, and that he gave himself for my salvation, then when I blow it, I still remember I'm loved by God. Because the word of God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that Jesus did not just die for my sins alone, but he died for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't matter whether you were born in Africa or in Europe, born in America, born in Russia, born in anywhere, God loves you. And you can receive that love and be forever changed. Hallelujah. So the first thing you need to remember, have settled in your life and never forget. Second thing that is important for you and I to know, settle, and never forget is that I am chosen. God has chosen me. God has chosen me. The Word of God says in John chapter 15 and verse 16. John 15 and 16. He says, you were not the one who chose me. I chose you. You are not the one who found me. I found you. It says, you and I have been chosen of God, ordained of God, to bear fruit. God chose you and I to be fruitful. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now that's a very powerful verse of scripture. God says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. In essence, I am the boss here. I am the captain of this team, and I have chosen you. I did not just choose you, I ordained you. I marked you out. You see, the Blue Bombers, which is our football team, will be playing during this season. Now, there are going to be so many players. There could be possibly 20-something, 30-something people that have been chosen to be part of the Blue Bombers team. Of those, there are some that are going to be ordained to play. And they are going to be on the field. And they are going to receive the ball and run. Not every one of them is going to play. But guaranteed, every one of them sitting at that Blue Bombers bench have been chosen. They were chosen from the midst of so many people. God has done the same thing for you and for me. He's chosen you. He says, you, I want you in my team. 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 God has chosen you. And being chosen gives you an opportunity to play. Gives you an opportunity to be marked out, to be part of the team that plays on the field. You've been marked. You know the thing about it? That when you're chosen, when the Blue Bombers win the Grey Cup, every one of you, whether you were playing or you are sitting at the bench, get a ring. Hello? God has chosen you. God has ordained you. For what reason? To be fruitful. And he says to you and I, don't forget that. That you have been chosen of God, ordained by God to be fruitful. Why is that important? Because I don't play Russian roulette. I don't play chance games. I know that I know that I know that I know that I who chose you, I chose you and equipped you to be fruitful. So it must be settled. Yes, I am chosen of God. Yes, I am ordained by God. And God sees me fruitful. Somebody say, I am loved. And I'm chosen, ordained to be fruitful. So part of my purpose is my fruitfulness. So when I see myself and I think I'm not being fruitful, I cry out to the Lord and say, whatever it is that's in me that's causing me not to be fruitful, I denounce and I reject it this day. Now, what is it that causes us not to be fruitful when God has chosen us and God has ordained us? The Word of God tells us that it is about us abiding in Him, staying in Him, holding on to Him, allowing His nourishment to flow in us and through us. So it boils down to the same thing. If you allow me to flow through you, if you recognize that I have chosen you and I did not make a mistake when I chose you, then you need to be able to love other people. Because I loved you while you were yet a sinner. Why are you walking in hate towards other people? Just love people. Just love. Forgive. And I'll manifest my fruitfulness in you. Because you are abiding in me. So many people walk in hate, walk in unforgiveness, walk their whole life in a state of distress because they think their success in life is based on what John Doe did or did not do for them. God says, it's not depending on anybody else. I chose you. I ordained you. Trust me. And stop fighting unnecessary battles and hating and becoming bitter. That's a very ignorant way of living. Listen, you will get so far in life if you drop the extra weights that you put on yourself. The weights of, oh, nobody loves me. It doesn't matter whether anybody else loves you. God says, I love you. And because I love you, you will not perish. You will not waste away. You will know good success. Embrace this truth. I am chosen. I am ordained to be fruitful. And then it says that whatsoever, when you are fruitful and your fruit remains, it says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, He may give it you. Now that's a very interesting statement. He may give it you. He may give it you. It's not in relationship to whatever it is that you ask the Father in my name, I'm going to give it to you. It doesn't put the two in it. It says, give it you. In essence, I will make you a problem solver. So when you are facing a situation and you cry out to me in prayer, He says, I will take you because my love flows in you, my faith is in you. I will introduce you to that problem and that problem will flee from you. I'll give it you. Once upon a time, there was a man called Goliath. And when Goliath showed up, everybody ran away. He didn't need an army, just him. until he met a man, a young boy called David, who knew his God and had his faith in his God. And he says to Goliath, "How dare you blaspheme the name of my God? Who gave you the right to open up that mouth of yours and start mouthing off on my God? You telling me you're going to kill me and you are going to kill all these people behind me? Tell you what. You're finished. You're done. You're not going to take another step. That big head of yours is coming off today. Do you capish?" And he starts running towards Goliath. And Goliath said, "This guy is crazy. Where is he running to? To me?" And that was the last thought he had. He was flat on his face. Finished. Because the man that he was fighting with knew his God. Knew he was loved, knew he was chosen, knew he was anointed, knew that the power of God was present in him. He knew the word of God, that if you blasphemed against God, you needed to be stoned. So he picked up stones. Say, "I'm in agreement with God. This dude is finished." And that was the end of Goliath. Praise the Lord. Chosen. Chosen. Third thing that you need to remember, have settled in your life, and know for a fact, you know that you know that you know, is that you have a destiny. You have a destiny. That God has a plan for your life. The word of God says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He says, "I know the thoughts." Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." So God has a thought about me every day. He thinks certain things. He says, "The thoughts I have concerning you, they are thoughts of peace." In essence, they are not thoughts of war. Me, I'm going to come here and clobber you over the head. No, I have thoughts of peace towards you. They are not thoughts of evil. And my thoughts are to give you an expected end. Give you an expected end. The thoughts I have for you is to bring you to a place where you can rest. Rest in my goodness, rest in my provision. My thoughts concerning you are good. So when you and I are going through a rough time and things are not going well, you say, "That must not be the thought of God concerning me. This is the devil in operation. Devil, shut up, get out. Move out of here. You are trying to complicate my life. My life is not a life that is going to be complicated by your nonsense. Out of my life, out of my way. I am blessed of the Lord, and his favor is upon my life." You've got, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? You understand that God's thoughts towards you are good thoughts. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is not thinking, "I'm going to give that boy cancer." That's not God's thought concerning me. "I'm going to break his leg so that he learns a lesson." That is not God's thought towards me. The thoughts of God towards me are good thoughts. Hallelujah. So when I know that God thinks good things concerning me, I'm able to resist the devil and tell him to pack his load and go. That is not my portion. No. You're knocking at the wrong door. I am not a sucker, and you're not going to suck me in. Get out of here. Move. In the mighty name of Jesus, get away from me. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the fire of destruction come after you today. Get out of my way. You are not going to mess up my life. You're not going to mess up the life of my children. You're not going to mess up my marriage. You're not going to mess up my education. You're not going to mess up my finances. You're not going to mess up my health. Pack your load and get out from here. I know who I am, and I know that God has a destiny for me, and it is not this bad news that you're trying to bring here. God's good news is mine. This is the day that the Lord God Almighty has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, God is not thinking, okay, suffer all the suffering, and then when you come to heaven, you will enjoy. No, he says you can live like heaven here in the earth. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? It prospers because you believe and come into agreement with the Word of God. The Word of God says healing is the bread of the children. So why are you practicing sickness and disease? It's time to start eating some food. Hallelujah. The Word of God says the hope of a tree is that when it dies and its roots wax old and it seems like it's nothing, that at the scent of water, it will revive. Hallelujah. So why don't you start sniffing? Sniff the water. Come back alive. Stop living in the world of complaint. God has not given to you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. God gave that to you. Take it. Receive it. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. You know, my family, I was raised in a very bad home. Nothing good has happened in my family. Well, guess what? The Bible says that you can be born again and that you can become a new creation, that all things can pass away and behold, all things can become new. And the Word of God says here, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says, when you know this, then shall you call upon me. When you know that, you will call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken. I will listen to you. Yes, you've got problems, but I have solutions for you. Praise the Lord. I have solutions for you. So stop drinking the dregs of your troubles. Come to me. Talk to me. I will listen to you. And he says, and you shall seek me. When you know that my thoughts towards you are good thoughts, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Wow. When is that? When you know that God has great plans for you. And they are not plans of failure. They are plans of good success. He says, and I will be found of you, said the Lord. If you seek me with all of your heart, you're going to find me, and I will turn away your captivity. Whatever it is that's imprisoned you, it says, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. If for any reason I allowed you to be taken captive by the enemy so that you can learn something, I'm going to bring you back as soon as you repent and you call to me. I'm going to bring you back. I have good thoughts towards you. Whatever it is that's happened in your life that is not glorifying me, the purpose is for you to be awakened, come back to your right mind. And remember, I love you. I have chosen you. I have a plan and a destiny for you. And fourthly, I have a purpose. Remember that. I have a purpose. I am loved. I am chosen. I have a destiny. And I have a purpose. There's a reason for me. Praise God. Someone say, I am loved. Say, I'm chosen. Say, I have a destiny. And now say, I have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. There's a reason for you. You may not think so, but that's not what God thinks about you. You were not just born of God for no reason. You have a purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me. That is Jeremiah saying. The word came, and this is what the word was saying. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew you before your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters were. I knew you. Before your great grandparents, I knew you. Before the foundations of the world, I knew you. Before you got into your mama's belly, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I separated you. I chose you. Hallelujah. Don't know why this is crackling all over the place. God is good. You know what? Let's not mess up this. Praise the Lord. Out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Why, Lord? He says, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I had a plan, a purpose for you. Everyone here, you were born for a reason. And you were born to solve a problem. Please hear that. You were born to solve a problem. There are no professions that are really out of play. The guy who is driving a taxi or an Uber is just as important as a guy that is a doctor or an engineer. Or a preacher. Everybody solves a problem. So if I were to ask a graduate in class, for example, and many graduated this year from high school or from university or wherever, but let's say I ask somebody, what do you want to do with your life? Somebody may say, I want to be an accountant. I'll say, oh, that's great. And somebody else might say, I want to be an engineer. Oh, wow, that's great. Awesome. God bless you. But somebody says, I want to be an Uber driver. And we'll say, huh? Or somebody say, I want to be a truck driver. Excuse me? What are you talking about? Until that guy chooses not to be a truck driver, and everybody says, truck driving, that is bad. And then you go to the store to get some food and find out there's no food at the grocery store because the truck driver did not do his trucking. Everybody is important. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And we need to uphold that which God has called us to and see the manifestation of that grace. Hallelujah. What do you want to be? I want to be a boxer. I want to be a soccer player. I say, what? What are you talking about? Want to be a soccer player? Until you find out the soccer player is making millions. You're sitting down there watching him kick the ball. And he collects your money and goes home. He has his private jet kicking the ball. But when he said that, you thought, no, you can't be anything like that. Oh, I want to be a taxi driver. Oh, until the guy not only starts driving his taxi, but starts buying other taxis. And now he has a fleet of taxis. You say, hey, oh. No, whatever God calls you to be, God can bless. Somebody shout hallelujah. So don't get all wound up because somebody says, I want to be something. No, I feel led to be this. Can you imagine David saying, I feel led to be a rock thrower? What do you mean, David? You're going to be a rock thrower? Yes. And every day he's slinging away. Until the day Goliath's head is face down. And you say, wow, thank you for being a rock player. Thank you for slinging all that practice. You made it happen. Now, everybody can be a blessing. And God said about this prophet Jeremiah, he says, I sanctified you, I separated you, I chose you, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. What has God called you to do? Do you know your purpose? There's so many who do not know what they're supposed to be. And so they run and run like a hamster in a cage. They exert all the energies and still don't get anywhere. Jeremiah says to God, behold, I cannot speak for I'm a child. I'm not qualified for what you're talking about. I can't speak. Moses said the same thing. I can't speak. I'm a stammerer. People will be laughing. I can't get words out of my mouth. And God says, that's exactly why I chose you. So that you know that whatever it is that is going to be happening in you and through you is not by your might nor by your power, but by my spirit. I'm the one who's working out this great work in you and through you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord says unto him, say not, don't say, I am a child. Stop talking like that. Stop saying, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee.
I have an assignment, a purpose for you. And you're going to go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You will be able to speak. Yes, you're young, but you're going to speak my words out of your mouth. Verse 8 goes on and tells us this remarkable statement. It says, be not afraid of their faces. Let me tell you, you've not started speaking. There are going to be people who are going to try to stare you down. It says, don't mind them. Look past them. Don't be afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with thee to deliver thee from all of their strategies and agenda against you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand. Because God, when God has a purpose for your life, he will not send you without equipping you. Let me say that again. God will not send you without equipping you. Let me say it the third time. God will not send you without equipping you. He will always equip you. He'll give you what you need. Just like the government equips the soldiers that they are sending out to war. They give them all that they need to win. God, when you obey him, when you know that he has chosen you, when you know that he loves you, when you know that he has a destiny and a purpose for you, will also give you what you need to win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is not man that will send people out to war and not want to win the war. No, when God sends you out, he sends you out to win. You are a victor, not a victim. Praise God. He says, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. God touched his mouth and says, I put my words into your mouth. So what am I going to do with these words? Just speak it. Be bold and speak. Say what I'm saying to you. And so he tells him how it was going to play out in verse 10. He says in verse 10, Jeremiah 1:10. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations. With what? By the very fact that I put my words in your mouth. I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to do what? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, then to build and to plant. Six things. You're going to root out things. You're going to pull down things. You're going to destroy things. You're going to throw down things. And then you're going to build and you're going to plant. What is this all about? God says, he's saying to Jeremiah, and he says to us, before you see everything put together, there's going to be a lot of disorder. When you want to build, you start digging and digging and digging. You're trying to lay a foundation. It's all a mess. When you're trying to clean up, a lot of times, the person who does not know what you're trying to do will see a whole lot of mess and say, what are you doing? You're messing everything up. No. I need to mess up first to put it together. And that's what God is saying. He said, I'm sending you, and when you get started, it might be like a tornado hit the place. Things have been rooted out. Things have been pulled down. Things have been destroyed. Things have been thrown down. He says, then you're going to start building and you're going to start planting. But remember, there is a purpose to you and there's a purpose to whatever it is that you're doing. Let me say that again. There is a purpose to you and there's a purpose to what you are doing. Nothing is out of place. Everything is in its rightful place at this rightful time. Praise God. If we were trying to paint here and we're going to try to paint this ceiling, well, guess what's going to happen? All the chairs will be out of here. There'll be things that we don't like scaffold and whatever else. There'll be plastic all over the floor. And somebody comes and says, is this a church or a construction center? It's still a church. Because after you finish painting and everything is now put together, say, wow, this is beautiful. It's really nice. I like it. I like it. Wow. Amazing. Oh, it was not amazing when you got started. And so it is with life. When you are moving somewhere, you're going somewhere, things may not always look nice. A pregnant woman is trying to give birth, and there's lots of pain before the baby comes out. But we will celebrate and say, happy birthday. Well, when you want to birth stuff, sometimes there'll be pain. But the pain is part of the process. Some say the pain, the disorder is still part of the process. And finally, I am authorized. So these five things I'm saying to you, you need to know, have settled, and remember. Never forget it. First one, I am loved. Second one, I am chosen. Third one, I have a destiny. Fourth one, I have a purpose. And fifth one, I am authorized. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke 10 and verse 19. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power. Some say, God gives me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I am authorizing you. I'm empowering you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whatever the power of the enemy is, I am gracing you to tread on every one of them. Oh, there's witchcraft around. Tread on it. There are satanic worshipers around. Tread on it. There is this problem. Tread on it. If it is contrary to the power of God, tread on it. There are altars of darkness that have been raised. Break it up. Over all the power of the enemy, whatever form of power the enemy is operating by, whatever authority the enemy is operating by, I give you an authority that is greater than that. It says, know that. You have that authority to subdue the enemy. And nothing that the enemy has shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. When you know that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the word of God says in Psalm 121, he says he will deliver you, he will keep you from all evil. The word of God says in Isaiah 54, he says, no weapons fashioned against you will in any way, shape, or form prosper. that any voice that rises up against you, you have been given the authority, the right to condemn it. He says, this is your heritage. This is your right. Don't let the enemy speak his wicked ways into your life. Shut it down. Praise the Lord. God says, I give you that authority. I give you that authority. That wherever you go, you will be head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. For the one that comes from above is above all. You've been born again of God from above. And you are above every power, every agenda, every agency, every agent of darkness. You have the authority. You have the power. You have the grace upon your life to make it. Satan and all his cohorts are beneath your feet. Know that. Don't just believe it. Know it. Let me say that again. Don't just believe it. Know it. Know it. Just know that you know that you know. And when the enemy faces up with you, let him know. You know that I know. That you know. That I know. That you know. That I know. That you are defeated. So back off. You're defeated. I am more than a conqueror. That's what God has marked me as. For the word of God says, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. What is it that overcometh the world? He that is born of God. So guess what? Right there in 1 John chapter 5, God calls you a victor. He calls you faith. Can you believe it? He calls you faith. He calls you victor. He says, that's who you are. You are one with the word. Whatever God's word says, that's who you are. So walk in that grace. Now, everything I just said to you about that particular passage of scripture, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, we must ask ourselves this question. Have I been born of God? Because everything I just said today only applies to people who have been born again of God. You can't lay claim to any of it if you've not been born of God. There were seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts who were pretenders and says, we adjure you, saying to this demonic spirit, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, which Paul preaches. And this evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who gave you the right? And they beat this one demon-possessed guy, beat up all seven guys, and they were running down the street naked. One demonized man. You don't have a right to any of the things that I said if you have not turned your life over to God and said, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. I've heard today that you love me and that you've chosen me. I've heard today that I have a destiny, I have a purpose, and I have been authorized when I give my life to you. So come into my heart, Lord Jesus. All heads bowed. All heads bowed. Is there anyone here today that will say, you know, Pastor, I hear you. I need to turn my life over to God and allow God's power to flow in me and through me. I want to surrender my life to the living God so that my life's trajectory, my life's direction is forever changed. And I walk in newness of life. I'd like for you to pray with me and for me. If that's you tonight, just raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. I see that hand right there. Anybody else need to make that turn around and say, God, come into my life? Anyone else? I see a second hand. Anyone else? Okay. Now, I'd like for every one of us to repeat after me these words. Say with me, Father God, I receive your word. I believe and receive your love. Therefore, I declare today, according to your word, that I will not perish. I will have everlasting life. I turn my life over to you, Lord Jesus. Come, take full residence in my life. Come into my heart. Turn my life around. Heal, deliver, and set me free. I choose to believe, and I allow you, O God, to do something new in my life. I ask to be born again of your Spirit. I want to live a new life. Help me, O God, to live according to your word. Blessed be your holy name, Father. I worship you. I bow myself before you, and I say, Lord, truly be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Please don't forget those five things. What are those five things again? Shout it out to me. I am loved. Huh? Chosen. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. I have been authorized. Okay. In about 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you might not know, I'm going to ask you again. And I will expect for you to tell me, because remember, we know it, we've settled it, and we will not forget it. Amen? Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And remember, this is the last Sunday of the month. And so today is when we give a special missions offering. And our missions offering is going to go to the land of Israel to support a ministry called Emunah, which means faith. It's a ministry that was started 90 years ago, even before the nation Israel was reinstated. Women of God began to take in orphans and different ones into the land and caring for them. And they do all kinds of stuff. And so that is what our special offering is going to be going to this month end. Now, this is the last Sunday, and tomorrow is the last day of the first 6 months of this year. Can you imagine? We've already covered 6 months. We were just saying Happy New Year just the other day. Now it's 6 months. So we're halfway. And the seventh month, the fruit that we're going to be eating from the tree is the fruit of the favor of the Lord. Someone say the favor of the Lord. Say it again, the favor of the Lord. One more time, the favor of the Lord. So this month of July, begin to eat the fruit of favor. The Bible says to us that Jesus, our Lord, grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and man. So when we declare that we are eating the fruit of favor, what we are saying is we are going to find favor in the sight of God and the sight of men. You need to enforce that word and say, favor surrounds me like a shield. My life, my year is crowned with the favor of God. Everywhere I go, favor will come my way. Hallelujah. Now, when I say to you, say that, I mean that. Every fruit that God has given to us this year, starting in January, every one of them, I have personally experienced and I continue to experience. So, get ready. Believe the word of God and tap into everything Father has for you. Don't sit at the table and starve. Amen? Let me say that again. Don't sit at the table and starve. There's all kinds of food on this table. Eat. Say, the fork is too big. It's going to be hard. Then take the fruit and give the person on the other side to eat. And let them give to you to eat. Serve each other. If you're going to experience favor this month, then be the one that favors other people. For no reason, just say, here, there's $5. For no reason, let me take you out for lunch. For no reason. Get it moving, and you will experience favor in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, in just a moment, I'll come and say hello to everyone that is here for the first time. But before I do so, let me just acknowledge Sister Jeanette Ellis, Brother John, Brother Bill, Sister Carol, Sister Judith Pesima, all of those that are watching on Zoom, and those